All right, Marty Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by Thomas Harding of MLB.com. Thomas, Colorado Rockies, you've covered them, obviously, a number of years. It's great to have you on the show, as usual. What a year for the Rockies, huh?
Yeah, what a dud of a year, huh? It was one of those years where they came in with expectations. I mean, last season, they played a game 163, which could have knocked the Dodgers off their longtime perch in the NL West. So they expected to do a lot better, but it fell apart this summer in just dramatic ways.
What happened to the Rockies? Now, usually when I say that, pitching is usually the first to answer.
Okay, pitching. That's the first answer. If you look at, there was a stage in June where they were six games above 500, and even at that point, Kyle Freeland, who was fourth in the Cy Young race last season, finished fourth. He was struggling to the point that they had sent him down to the minors. Yet they were six games above 500, contending for the wild card because the Dodgers were a long way out in front. But if they had caught fire, who knows what would have happened? I really trace it back to June and July. A number of homestands, I think it was three homestands, the Cubs, the Padres, a few other teams in there, the Giants were in there, the Reds, the Dodgers, and the season completely fell apart then. I think the average runs in each game was almost nine for the visitors and almost eight for the Rockies. And there were a number of games that both teams finished in double figures. Not only did it help wear out the pitching staff, I mean, until last week, all five of the original five starters were on the injured list at that point. But not only did it wear out the pitching staff, but it also wore out the lineup. And even the All-Star break wasn't enough rest for them. And they really fell apart in pretty much every aspect. And you know when a team does that, when on days they pitch, they don't hit. On days that they don't pitch, they hit. So that's what happened.
Yeah, Thomas Harding with us. He covers the Rockies on MLB.com. The home run ball, I don't know, maybe hurt the Rockies more than anybody because of the park.
Yeah, it did. And I think, too, they got out homered at their home park. But when you look at it, that makes a lot of sense simply because when a team comes in there, there was a series with the Dodgers where I think it was Buehler, Kershaw, and Ryu, and all the games were high scoring. And they were high scoring on both ends, Rockies and the Dodgers end. But guess what? The Dodgers got to leave. The Rockies had to stay and keep playing and playing and playing. And I think it did wear out their pitching staff a lot. And also, we've had a lot of talk about the baseball and the difference in it. And the Rockies, because they play in that special atmosphere, One of the big tenets of their training is there's no excuse for what happens at altitude. So you could almost see it on pitchers' faces. Weakly hit fly balls or balls that normally would be caught in the outfield, they went all the way to the fence or over. You saw them actually trying to control themselves. No, I can't give in to this. And I think that for the most part, you have not seen people blast the baseball or blast the park or anything. But it's something that does have to be addressed.
All right, so next year, we always like to look at next year, a busy winter for the Rockies coming up, your prediction on that, and a little bit of what to look forward to next year.
I'll tell you what, that's, to me, I think the Rockies, no matter how many moves they make, and they tend not to make a lot, will be fascinating to watch, because when you have a year like this, the tendency is we've got to correct this by going out and bringing in either a bunch of new players or making major moves. But there also is an argument that if their pitching staff comes back healthy and makes the adjustments they need to, they could have the same team they had the previous 2 years that went to the postseason, only with Arenado and Story, guys like that with a little bit more experience, and also some of the younger guys who got a lot of playing time this year. Ryan McMahon, Tony Walters behind the plate, a year older. David Dahl, who's injured right now, if he comes back. So you could be looking at a team that just simply by being healthy is a contender and can actually dream of chasing the Dodgers. But if you're a Rockies fan, or if you're in that Rockies clubhouse and you've gone through this, do you need management to shake things up a little bit? So those are the things that I'm going to be watching this winter, and I really don't have a good read on it because the free agents that could help are very expensive. I mean, I would love Marcell Ozuna in left field. You know, a guy like a Tanner Roark as a steadying force in the rotation. Even a Madison Bumgarner, which I was advocating for at the deadline, or Jake Odorizzi. You would love to see them in Rockies uniforms with this young pitching staff, but they had the 11th highest payroll in baseball this year, and they are prepared to go up a little bit, but Trevor Story is going to be looking for a new contract. A lot of the arbitration guys, do they really have the money to go out and do one of those moves?
I think bullpen for them. I want to talk to you a little bit about Bruce Bochy in a second. But for me, what made the Rockies so successful was Bud Black handling that bullpen a couple of years ago. And I just feel the bullpen is really a weakness now.
Yeah, it did become a weakness, and that certainly was a big part of when the season fell apart and the bullpen never recovered. But when your starting rotation also doesn't recover, you're not able to fill in. If you look at last season where Brian Shaw, who they spent a lot of money on, really struggled. Jake McGee was not as consistent as you would have expected. But because they had that good starting rotation, they were able to limit the exposures of other people. They went out and they got Sungwon Oh, who made a difference in the bullpen. Wade Davis, who struggled in the middle of the year, came back at the end of the year. They're going to need him back next year. Also, last season, Scott Oberg emerged as a really good force. He stayed there. One of the things that's funny, too, is you look at there's some criticism of the Rockies for not re-signing Adam Ottavino. But if you looked at Adam Ottavino in September and August and September, and also even in the postseason, he had a 4-plus ERA those months. So actually, the guy who went to the Yankees and lifted them was not performing well, and Scott Oberg had surpassed him here. I do think that some of the younger relievers, Carlos Estevez, he gave up a home run on Tuesday night, and it was the first run off him in 10 appearances. Jairo Diaz, who threw two innings on Tuesday and has been the closer since Oberg had the blood clots, he's really pitched well. There, you have to look at how often you use him. So there are some younger guys that are kind of moving later in games, but they have to get Wade Davis back. Brian Shaw actually was better this season than last. You'd like to see Jake McGee in the last year of a big contract pitch well, but it looks like this end of the season, which has become a tryout camp, to be honest with you. Once John Gray got hurt in August, it became, okay, let's see who we can count on for next year. I think that there are some things in the bullpen, but can they make a trade and get rid of some of the bigger contracts and make a smart decision on bringing somebody else in? You're right. The bullpen is a place to look at.
Well, that's the story of baseball today. Bruce Bochy retires, and now Bud Black becomes a senior manager in the National League West. Some of your recollections of Bruce Bochy over the years?
I'll tell you, when he was with the Padres and the Giants, I had some limited contact with him, meaning that a couple times I filled in on the Padres. I think there were certain stories I worked at with the Giants. He is the type of guy that I think if you were a ball player, and especially if you were an excitable sort, you would want to play for, because there was always a calming thing with him. He always knew how to get through the noise and get to what was important. I found that as a reporter, and also when you watch the way players react to him. I mean, he's had some personalities on this team, some really outgoing personalities, but it seems like Bruce Bochy knew when to make a move and make sure that the players understood it, whether it was in his bullpen. Jeremy Affeldt, Sergio Romo, probably different personalities, but he knew how to handle both and keep them in a good place, meaning good self-evaluation, good understanding of how they're being used. So when you talk about Bochy, you go back to the Padre days, and here he had better starting pitching, but his use of relief pitchers actually had people from the other dugout marveling. Bud Black was talking about that this week, that his use of relief pitchers has probably taught almost every manager in the National League West how to use them.
Boy, very well said. Thomas, great to see you. We'll see you in Scottsdale or Salt River in February, I guess. That's the next time. Thanks, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, it's funny. As rough as this season has been on both of our teams, I still hate to see it end. You know, you still want to see the daily grind to get to where you feel you need to be. But if you look at the Giants, they have some pretty good pieces that need to be added to, whether it's from within or some shrewd moves without. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of change there. Rockies, I don't see a lot of change in the managing, coaching, even the front office staff, but things have to get different because you can't live with this.
No, you can't. That's a very good observation. Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, that's Thomas Harding, MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. More coming up, KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.